Joshua, chapter number one. I'd like to share a few thoughts with you today out of the book of Joshua, chapter number one. Then I'll be preaching out of chapter three, but I would like to lay a little bit of groundwork and nothing that's unfamiliar to our church, the book of Joshua. The Lord has really stirred our heart in these days of preaching out of the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that it came to pass. Aren't you glad things tonight? Miss Renee made a statement to me in verse number 2. She said, you know, it's something, Ken, about that text that he said, therefore arise and go over this Jordan, this particular place in the life and the trials of the people. Within what we've read today, you'll notice that Moses has died. I preached last year at the beginning when Moses had died and things had made such a drastic change. Could you imagine being in the congregation where Moses was the leader and you got the information that through the night that Moses no longer existed? Could you imagine everything that you'd ever known about God, Moses was associated to it? You see, Moses was a man, the Bible says he was the meekest man of all the Bible. But yet Moses had a great temper. You know, God uses people with temperament. He uses people with backbone. And so Moses was a man that no doubt we've seen that he parted the Red Sea for the children of God. Do you remember when Pharaoh was after them? And man, they got down there to the Red Sea. And Brother Randall, I doubt if anybody said, well, let's all take a vote and see if we're going to get across or not. And let's all wonder, is everybody here? Now, Moses said, line up, we're going across. And so he said, I tell you, you've got two options. You can stay here and let Pharaoh eat all your peanut butter and crackers, or you can move on across with the congregation and go to the other side. And so the Bible said that Moses raised up his rod. God parted the Red Sea. The children went across. They came out with a high hand lifted, and I'm going to tell you, God's still looking for somebody to raise their hand toward where He is and say, thank you, God, that you still parting the Red Seas of our life. So now the information has come to this congregation. This has been handed off, the torch or the ball, Brother Adam, has been handed to Joshua. Joshua, the Bible says, was Moses' minister. I want to thank God for the people in the life of the preacher that has helped them through the days and hours and the pathway of life. Joshua was very close to Moses. He ministered to him. He helped him. He seen about what he needed. We need a lot of Joshuas in this day and this hour that is concerned with their Moses, with their leader. But I come to tell you this morning that Moses died, but God's still in business. You know, as Brother Chris got up to sing, he made this statement, and it rung in the bells of my heart. Even though through this great crisis, God is very much alive. Now, Moses is dead. You know, I love things. I'm sort of in the same habit process every morning. I get up out of my bed. I go to my coffee pot. Many times I go to my altar, come back, open my Bible, drink my coffee. I love that type of stance every day in my life, that structure in my life. But all of a sudden, Moses has died. Everything that they were ever used to doing that pertained to church and to God, it had died. And you know what the Bible said in the book of Deuteronomy 34? That Moses went up on top of Mount Nebo. The Bible says his eyes were not dim, nor his natural forces abated. And God took him upon Nebo, and he took his life, and he buried him there in the valley of that mountain. The Bible said in the book of Deuteronomy 34 that the people of God wept for Moses 30 days. They loved this man of God. I want to say, there's nothing wrong with loving the man of God. There's nothing wrong with supporting the man of God. But he's not God. He's just a man of God. Ain't you glad, honey, when people move off the scene, God is still on his throne. So you know, me, of a man of much habit, man that does everything the same way, no doubt they wish they could have got Moses back up. Things had changed. They could not bring him back. And I like what a preacher told me this week in a meeting. I'd preached out of a text, and he got up and he said three things about what I'd preached about Moses being dead. Just give him a little background of where I want to go this morning. Bear with me. But he said, you know, when Moses died, first of all, the people had to realize the acceptance. So when hard things come in our life, we've got to accept we are where we are. We're in a tabernacle this morning with curtains. There's one missing and the winds are blowing this morning. We got porta potties set down out yonder in the pine thicket. We got gravel on the floor. It's not carpet today. We don't even have heat running. Amen. But let me tell you something. God is still on the throne. Things have changed in our life. I remember the day when you could go to the hardware store and buy a box of 30-06. Somebody say amen. Now ease on up in there and try to find you a box. I remember the days when you could go out and eat and you could just simply go in and people would... I can remember the days when you'd go through McDonald's drive-thru and get what you order. Somebody say amen this morning. Things have changed. And so there must be an acceptance. We must be able to accept it is what it is. That we can set and we can't change anything. The only thing we can change is the things that we can change. But those things we cannot change, we must accept that we are where we are. Not only did he talk about acceptance, but then he talked about an adjustment. You know, it takes time to adjust. The people here, you've adjusted so good to outside church at the tabernacle. I mean, I love going to church up here. I'll be honest, I just love going to church up here. So there must be an acceptance. There must be an adjustment. Now, some of you, no doubt, life comes at different, many levels of hardness. Some are harder than others, but we must accept it is what it is. But then there's got to be a time in our life that we must adjust. Anybody that never does adjust, they're not going to do anything for God or their family. It's no time to throw our hands down now, and many have, and say, well, what is the use? But can I tell you, there is a God that can help us adjust that Moses is dead. So there was an acceptance, then there was an adjustment, but I like the third point, what he said. I liked it so much I wrote it and had to preach a little bit to you this morning. He said there was action. They didn't just sit down at the Jordan. You'll notice when God introduced this text, not only did he remind them that Moses had died, but now go over this Jordan. And then, as Miss Renee said something last night that went in the recesses of my heart. There are different types of Jordans. This Jordan, it may have to do with people. It may have to do with places. It may have to do with the process. But in this book this morning, there was an action that had to be taken. I know a lot of people at their Jordan. They'll sit down, never try to get across. They never have action, and nothing is never accomplished. I appreciate the people of God that have put forth action. And now we can come to church. We can enjoy the goodness of God. But let me tell you, somebody's got to do something and take action. Say amen this morning. And so there was an acceptance. It was what it was. There was an adjustment, and then there was action. Now let's look how they got across. It's laid out in our Bible. You always remember this in Joshua chapter number 3. Whether there is a death that has happened, whether there's a great change that has happened, may even be a job change, it may be a family change, maybe something that has happened, but this is something that's very unique to all Jordans. They're hard to get across. This Jordan River was flooded. A lot of the commentators say that it was a mile wide. Now I want to ask you something this morning. When they got down to this roaring river, Brother Mike, you live at Wee Dowie. I remember back when the flood came a few years ago. When all that water hit the river at Wee Dowie, all the boat docks come loose. There was trees floating down that river. You could nearly walk across the trees that was floating up that river. I'll never forget the sound of that rushing wind and the fright of it all. What power and what force it had. And so now God has asked these people to take them across this Jordan River. And no doubt there's a million of these people that is looking at that Jordan. This Jordan was usually some 40 or 50 yards wide, but now it's a mile wide. So it takes me to chapter 3, verse 1, and I won't be long preaching, but I do want to show you this morning. I hope it'll help you in your life. Look in chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible simply says this, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shechem and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and he lodged there before they passed over. Came to pass that after 3 days that the officers went through the host. Now, they're down here for a 3-day period. You know, the number 3 in the Bible is very important. You know, the Lord hung on the cross, put him in the grave, but what happened on the 3rd day? He got up out of the grave and he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he's still our Savior this morning. So 3 days there they lodged. Said it came to pass that 3 days the officers went through the hosts and they commanded the people saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God and the priests of Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Now notice the change that has happened. Do you remember in the early days with Moses that there was a cloud that followed the children of Israel? It followed them wherever they were to go. It led them. It kept them safe. But something has changed now. No longer is this cloud in place, but now the ark is in the forefront. What is the ark, preacher? Well, it was about the size of a communion table. Inside of that was the book of the law that God had given Moses. Upon that was the mercy seat. There they worshiped God, and God communed with them through that ark. And now he's telling them, you don't have a cloud in the sky, but let me tell you what you've got. You got the presence of God that's going to lead you across this Jordan. I'm glad we've got a God that'll let his presence known this morning. Aren't you glad we're not in this by ourselves when we get down to our Jordans in life? Now you'll notice, first of all, that this Jordan was a halted place. They had gotten down to Jordan. They spent some 3 days in that area. And I want to say this, Jordan, first of all, it was an unexpected place. Has anything ever happened in your life that was unexpected? I'm going to tell you, life changes. Life never stays the same. That's why when we get together like this, we ought to give everything we've got to the honor and the glory of God. We ought to thank Him for His goodness. And every chance we can raise our voice, you'll go down to the ball game and shout. Won't you shout down the church house? Amen. I'm going to tell you, God is worthy of our praise this morning. And so, it was a halted place. It was an unexpected place. But then secondly, Brother Mike, it was an unexplained place. I want to ask y'all something today. Why would God allow them to get down to the Jordan, and no longer is it 40 or 50 yards wide? It's overflowed all of his banks. It's a mile wide. It's not only unexpected, but it's unexplainable. It's some things that God allows that I don't understand. But I do know this, honey. There is a God of our Bible that'll let you see about your Jordan today and help you get across in the unexplainable times in life. Oh my goodness, it's unexplainable. Nobody had a reason. God could allow it to just be a trickle and they all jump over. But I think a lot of times God allows things to come in our life that we realize we've got to have you. There's not a bridge over it. There's not a boat they can sail across it. There's a million people that has got to get across this thing. And so here's Joshua. Could you imagine being Joshua? Could you imagine following Moses for many years and how he had the command of the people? The people respected Moses. I mean, everything they knew about God, it was about Moses. Now, Joshua had to put on his shoes. Could you imagine stepping in the shadow of Moses? Them people had seen quail rain from heaven. Wouldn't it have been something if you had been a bird dog, Brother David, in the camp of Israel? All them quail, well, you wouldn't have known what way to point. Somebody say amen. I mean, quail filled the whole camp. Could you imagine? Now Joshua's got to fill these shoes. He takes these people down to this river. This Jordan, it's a halting place. It had them stop. And in the Jordans of my life, oh, how they've made me stop. It was an unexpected place. It was an unexplained place. But thirdly, it was an unexplored place. It was a place that had never been crossed. And in your Christian life experience, you're going to experience some things about Jordan that you have never had to face these things in your life. They're unexplored. So it reminds me more how we need God in this day, in this hour. Some of you have had Jordans wider than others. I can look around this congregation, I can tell you pew after pew after family that I've seen the Jordans arise in your life. Our family has had some Jordans arise in our life. Maybe not as big as some of yours, but the same God that got you across yours, get me across mine. This morning it was a halted place. Then secondly, not only was it a halted place, we see in verse 3 there's a hesitant path. Look what he tells them. He says that when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of Levites bearing, then you shall remove from your place and go after. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it that you may, here it is, know the way by which you must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. You've not done this before. I've had many people ask, well, preacher, how are we going to get across this? One day at a time, because we've never been here before. I would love to tell you in a few weeks that if the Lord allows, when we go back in that building, we'll never be faced another Jordan through this pandemic. But I can't tell you that. But I can tell you when another Jordan comes up, all we can do is what we're doing, go one day at a time and trust our God is still sitting on His throne this morning. Because I don't have it figured out. And this Bible lets me know I don't have it figured out. But let me tell you who I know who's got it figured out. And He's on the throne today. And so He simply said this in this halted place, but now this hesitant path. He says, you've not passed this way heretofore. Some of you young people, you'll think, well, preacher, you know, people just need to move on. Well, I used to say that when I was young too, but it's going to come a time when you get older, you're going to experience some things that is hard to get across. It may be some people as minor that has said something to you that has devastated you. And this Jordan just mounted up in your life and it's so hard for you to get across. Somebody may have walked out of your life. You may have lost a job. You may have lost a loved one. But this Jordan's come in a place in your life. You've never been there before and you don't know how in the world you're going to get across. Can I ask y'all before I get done preaching this? If it was a million of us and we stood here and we looked out yonder and this river was a mile wide, these trees rushing down this place. I mean the roar of the thing. You would sit there and look at that thing and say, how in the world are we going to get across that? Well, can I tell you the formulas in the Bible? I love that we've got a Bible that's been written for this day and this hour. The halted place, the hesitant path, but lastly, the helpful practice. How did they get across? Now help me preach 10 minutes, I'll be done. Verse number 5. First of all, we got to wake up. He said this simply, that Joshua rose up early in the morning. It does matter what you do in the morning hours with your God. There's nothing like getting up while the dew is on the grass. In the stillness of the day, before you've even turned your iPhone on. We're so addicted to an iPhone. Shake your little Baptist head up and down. I mean, my goodness, one of the first things I do with my coffee, with my Bible, I want to reach for my cell phone. I say, leave it alone. You ever watch these kids crossing the road? They don't even look at the red light. They're looking at their iPhone. They all let the ball game come. They didn't come watch the ball game. They all come to look in their iPhone. So they woke up early. I want to say this helpful practice. Underline it. Wake up. Early to bed, early to rise. Then verse 3, not only wake up, but move up. Look what they said. They said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, remove from your place and go after it. Move up. Give me some people that want to go after it. I'm so tired of dead religion. Religion's never helped nobody. Religion put Jesus on the cross. But friend, old-fashioned church will help you in your life. Oh, are you willing to go after it this morning? Some of you, you got up and you seen, well, it's 46 degrees, the wind blowing, but you decided to go after it. Some of you don't have a padded pew to sit on, but you decided to go at Liberty Baptist Church. Could God speak to our hearts a minute? It's worth going after. It's worth going after. Mom and Dad, it's hard. You're living the most fast-paced life of any generation that has ever lived. You're run from rag to bush. But let me tell you, it's worth going after it for your family, for your marriages, your homes, your children, for a generation that's coming behind us. Brother Mike, when they lay me and you out yonder, we gone. Brother Adam, you're gone. Brother Tim, you're gone. Brother Randall, you're gone. Is there going to be anybody that's glad somebody went after it? Is there going to be anybody that's left better continue after it? After what, preacher? What they was going after, the presence of God. There are a lot of buildings without God. God will meet with you under a tent. He'll meet with you under a tree if you want to be met with. Liberty Baptist Church, may God put in our hearts to go after it. The presence of God. Look, he tells us to wake up, to move up.
Then verse 4, look at this. He says, line up. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits, that you may know the way which you shall go. Line up. What are you talking about, preacher? Yeah, give him space. You know why so many ministries are not working? They're not giving God space. He says, let me tell you something. The most important thing a congregation that can ever have is the presence of God leading them. And don't you put your hands on it. Don't you get too close to it. God is not our buddy. He's not the old man upstairs. He's God sitting on the throne, and He does that which pleases Him. We must respect the authority of the presence of God. The presence of God is so important. They'd always seen a cloud. They'd always seen a cloud by day and fire by night, but now they simply have this one thing, and it was enough, the presence of God. He said, I want you to line up and I want you to go after it. In other words, He's going to take you where you're supposed to go. Aren't you glad the Holy Ghost lives in you this morning? Not only is He our great comforter, He is our guide and our teacher. And if we will just follow Him, He will take us in the right pathway of life. Where we get in trouble as we get ahead of Him. We get out from beside Him. We get to thinking we can do it and we know how to do it. But friend, we've never been this way before. He says, wake up, move up, line up. Look in verse 5. It's very important. I believe it's one of the key verses of the whole chapter. We must clean up. He said, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. What does that mean to sanctify yourselves, preacher? It means purity. It means to dedicate your life unto God. And notice Joshua couldn't do it for them. They had to do it for themselves. It is a process. It takes some people longer than others, but I want to encourage you to get started with it this morning. Setting yourself aside for God. Everything in your home, it ought to center around God. You ought not decide if you're going to church Sunday morning, if it's not something else better to do. This is what we do. It's Sunday morning. We worship God. Clean up. There's nothing like getting clean. He said, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Liberty Baptist Church, I wonder what we'll see here tomorrow. I wonder what God will do tomorrow like we've never seen before. Do you remember the other night we filled that horse trough up? 13 was baptized. Did you know there's more than that's going to come to the Lord? But we must do our part. And clean up. It does matter what we look at. It does matter where we go, what we do, what we say. It does matter. You don't hear many preachers preaching that anymore, but it does matter. If God's people would bring heaven with them to church, we'd have heaven when we got to church. Stay cleaned up. Aren't you glad that Jesus said this? If any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father. And the blood of His darling Son cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I make mistakes. You make mistakes. But we must confess our sins. Stay cleaned up with the Lord. A dedicated life. This helpful practice. We must wake up, move up, line up, keep Him ahead. Don't get too close to Him. Don't put your hands on God. I talked with a pastor last night. He is preaching on and they limited the Holy One of Israel. I wonder how many times we've limited God because we put our hands on it and didn't trust Him by faith. I don't want to miss nothing God's got for me or for us. I don't want to limit Him. Because let me tell you, friend, He can do anything in this day and this hour. You see, not only were they to line up and clean up, verse 6, they were to man up. He said, Joshua spake to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, passed over before the people, and they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. We need some folks to man up. We live in such a sensitive society. Everybody gets a trophy for participating. So sensitive. Preacher, you hurt my feelings. Really? You've been down Walmart lately? Hey, let me tell y'all what happened this week. This amazing thing. I wasn't going to say it, but I'm going to say it. About being sensitive. I went to the car wash on the corner. I pulled up the car wash. This is the funniest thing ever. I wish y'all could have seen this. You know, there's two hoses by each car. This car gets a hose. This car gets a hose. So I pull up, and this hose wouldn't work. And I mean, it wouldn't even make my hair stand up. That's something. Well, I looked, and this little woman by me, she had her door closed on this side. She was working on the other side. And her hose was broke in the parking lot, and it was sitting there running. And the tip on it, Brother Mark, was stuck in the holder. I said, well, she ain't using that hose. So I picked that hose up, put the tip back on it. She's still over there fooling around. So I just opened up my door and went to vacuuming my door out. And I got in the back, and I passed that hose through the back door and went around on the passenger side to open up to vacuum it. All of a sudden, I looked up, and this little old woman was there. She had a bandage on her arm. She looked at me, and she said, you got my hose. She jerked it out of my car. I said, are you kidding me? They so sensitive, ain't they? And I'm sitting there now, Ken. So, Brother Tim, you'd been so proud of me. Brother Randy, you'd have given me an A+ for this. I walked around. I said, Jesus, help me. I said, ma'am, I fixed your hose. So sick. I mean, that woman jerked it. You got my hoe. I said, Lord, honey, I'm sorry. But man up. Man, you men, be a man. Raise your family. Shake hands with some grip in your hand. Find you a good girl and leave the boys alone. Somebody say amen. Be a man. I got an eye roll in. Boys ain't supposed to date boys. I don't care what you think. I wish I hadn't seen that eye roll. I'm going to get mean this morning. God said a man and a woman. And in this sensitive, crazy culture, that ain't changed my Bible. And it ain't girls to girls neither. God knows what He is doing. Man up. Let's have some men. Stand up and be a man. Protect your children. Know where your children's at. They ain't got no business at Piggly Wiggly at midnight. Bring your children in the house. Know what they're doing. See, be daddy. Some of you say henpecked. Got scratch feed down at the foot of your bed. Be a man. Be a man. You want to stick your chest out? Go answer the door. We got the towels in from the pool yesterday. Parker's in the house. You know, Parker, he's going to whoop everything. You know, he's 11. I was in the back bedroom. Renee went to screaming. I just know she'd fail. I come running in there. And there's Parker looking. Mimi having a cyclone fit. There was a lizard. Parker was running. Brother Dwayne, you've been proud. I dove on them towels, grabbed that lizard, because I know if I didn't catch him, I was going to check in the Holiday Inn last night. Sometime a man got to be a man. Somebody say amen. Yeah, I've been living with this woman nearly 43 years. Her and lizards don't get along real good. Man up. Verse 8, step up. Somebody had to walk in the water. Thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. Get your feet wet, church. Get your feet wet. Oh, they had to step up. Somebody's got to step up. Hey, could y'all imagine this? I'm about done preaching. Could y'all imagine this when they got the banks of that river? All them hecklers, a million people. You can't make everybody happy, so you just got to mind God. Let me say that again. You can't make everybody happy, but you can make God happy. Could y'all imagine the hecklers when them boys got ready to step over in that water? I bet they said, he's crazy. They're cray-cray. I told y'all he's lost it. They stepped up. I want to thank the men of Liberty Baptist Church for stepping up. You know something? Watch this. I'm done. When God parted the Red Sea, He done it by the rod of a man. But when He parted Jordan, He parted it by the feet of the people. They parted the Red Sea by the rod of Moses, but the feet of the people parted Jordan. We must react by faith this morning and trust our great God for what He's done. Hadn't He been so good to us? Somebody had to step up. May God help us to raise up a generation of men that will step up. Not only were they to step up, but in verse 9, watch your Bible. And Joshua said to the children of Israel, they must listen up. Come up hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And in order to listen up, sometimes we must hush up. God's got a lot to say. Sometimes He only has one word to say. But it does matter if we hear it. This morning in this Jordan, they were to man up, to step up. They were to listen up. Verse 10, they were to cheer up. I don't want to leave you on a low note today. Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you. That ought to make us cheer up this morning. The living God is among you. Aren't you glad that our God's not dead this morning? Cheer up. I understand Jordans are particular, Jordans are different. But if you're a child of God, you got something that ought to cheer you up this morning. There is a God. He loves all of His children. Verse 11, there's a looking up. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passed over before you in the Jordan. The ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you in the Jordan. Look up. Then verse 14, they packed up. It came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come to Jordan, he and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim.
of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. Verse 17, the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And watch your Bible. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground till all the people were passed clean over. Brother Mike, that's what I want to do with all my heart. I want to stand till all the people get across. Amen. I love you this morning, and I'm thankful for how good our God is.